flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It was a very difficult decision, leaving Houston. This is where, my family's at, is where we live. Had a lot of success here. Fans were great here. Teammates were awesome. Organization was great. I just, opportunity presents itself and you get a chance to go pitch in one of the more historical ballparks and put on a pretty historical uniform. You don't get those opportunities very often. And when it came about, long, hard conversations with family and friends, and we ultimately decided that this is something that we wanted to pursue.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That is Ryan Pressly. He was on the Score yesterday with the with Dan and Layla and Marshall, and it was a good interview, and you got a chance to hear from Ryan Pressly, the new Cubs ninth inning man. Is that how he described himself?
Late inning reliever.
I thought he said ninth.
Well, he did, but you know what? Now he's in the fold. It doesn't really matter what he said.
Okay.
They can do with him what they want.
So he doesn't have to be the closer. The thing about the late inning reliever, we'll use your term,
okay,
is that sometimes you need him earlier in the game.
You
right?
might. Yeah. High leverage reliever.
There you go.
Late inning reliever. Ryan Pressly comes to the Cubs, 36 years old, good history with the Astros. Acknowledge openly that when they got Josh Hader, he had to basically accept the demotion and how he struggled with that at times mentally because he was the closer. And we can say that. He was the closer for the Astros before they paid big money for Josh Hader. And that's a different role, different mentality, different mindset. He comes to the Cubs with Porter Hodge. He used the term dynamic duo. We'll find out how dynamic that duo will be. But the Cubs feel better about their bullpen today than before they signed Ryan Pressly. They lost out on guys. Both the Dodgers got Kirby Yates and Tanner Scott. So now, are the Cubs done with their bullpen? Probably. They probably will look internally for other alternatives or other options in the bullpen. But I think they feel good about the back end of it.
different generations, those two, right? Kind of an interesting dynamic duo, 13-year difference between the two.
Yeah, and I think the struggle that we reference in terms of would he waive his no-trade clause and how Ryan Pressly had lived in the Houston area since, I think, during his entire tenure as an Astro from Dallas originally, that was underscored by the Zoom conference he conducted with the Cubs media, and he did it outside of school waiting for a parent-teacher conference in his car.
See,
that's awesome.
That's why guys don't want to leave wherever they're going. That's the thing that people always ignore. A guy of his advanced years, and I'm just speaking in terms of baseball, you know, he's got a family, and he's got kids, and kids have friends and have different people. They don't want to go anywhere. They don't want to leave and try to start again, and it would scare them. And it's not – I mean, listen, a lot of kids are incredibly resilient, but they will not go gently into that sort of a move.
Well, it's difficult. It's what we saw last week with Ben Johnson, who came to the press conference with his wife and three children, and it was a cute scene with his son walking up to him. And you see these are young dads, 38 years old in the case of Ben Johnson, 36 with Ryan Pressly, and you don't want to uproot your family. Or if you do, you just don't want to ignore the cost or the difficulty that can create. Mm-hmm. So I thought he really was pretty good. You wondered going into this process if he was hesitating at all because of going to the Cubs and changing addresses, but it turned out like maybe he's just saying this. I don't think that he was, but he's always thought it would be cool to pitch at Wrigley Field and put on a Cub uniform. So he's going to get that opportunity. So might his former Astro teammate Alex Bregman. Bruce Levine reports that the Cubs remain in the mix for Alex Bregman. I don't know how to take this news. I thought they were out of it. I thought that the Astros were going to swoop in or maybe it'd be another team. But Bruce reports that the Cubs are, quote, hanging around in the Bregman Derby.
Bruce delivers you hope. And you are hesitant to embrace it because your feelings have been hurt before.
Yeah, I've been scarred by Bruce before.
By Bruce. Your feelings
No,
have been
it's
hurt
not about Bruce. It's not about Bruce.
No.
I just
it's
think
the
that
information.
If these reports about Alex Bregman tend to lean in one direction, he wants a long-term deal. And you understand that. And the Cubs aren't in a position to offer that or to want to offer that. The Cubs could structure a deal much the way they structured Cody Bellinger's contract, and it could be an opt-out involved, money up front, the different kinds of ways, but I just don't know what Alex Bregman is looking for, but I do know the Cubs could use what he's would deliver, and I think they need a professional bat in that lineup that you can count on, and I think he would fit the bill.
You know, I think it doesn't mean Matt Shaw can't play. It doesn't mean, like, you get pushback from people. No, it's time for the young guys. All of that is fine, but it's time for certainty.
You know what it's time for? Yeah. It's time for a playoff game.
Well,
it's time for a playoff series.
See, and that is
that's what it's time for.
I think, David, that's what you're offering. You can go to him and you can say, "Hey, you don't like the deal that you're being offered, the long-term deal? Is that not long enough? Is that not good enough money? Come here. We will give you a contract. You will make a lot of money, and then you can get after." You make the playoffs after you have a heroic performance in the playoffs, you can then get back on the market and you can get whatever money you felt you left on the table the first time.
That's what they're hoping for, but the Astros' original deal was a six-year, $156 million deal,
that was
deemed not good enough.
Yeah.
So now if they're going back to him, you wonder what that offer will entail. Also, you wonder if inadvertently the Cubs made it easier or made it more likely that he would return to the Astros because now they took Ryan Pressly's contract off the books for Houston. Houston's still going to pay a portion of it, but still a little more affordable. He was a $14 million a year salary, Ryan Pressly, the final year of his deal. So if you're the Astros, now do you feel more empowered if that was if that was part of a salary dump? Now can you afford Bregman more easily than you could before you unloaded Pressly?
See, and I understand that, but how much are they going to go up in terms of that contract? If it goes from 156 to 256, okay, that's going up. But if it goes from 156 to 170 or something, that's still not what he was hoping to get. And I think what you can offer him the energy of Wrigley Field, the idolatry that the fans feel towards you and the way they treat you. You can be a god of summer. And meanwhile, here's a couple of your own teammates. You can sit around and make jokes about cheating scandals with each other. I don't know what they talk about.
Do you think that's part of the Cubs' PowerPoint presentation? You could be a god of summer.
You know, if I were given that presentation,
that
would totally do that. Well, don't you think that's one of the listen, people show up every time you play.
Well, they know that,
and
though.
They cheer for you. They've been here.
Reinforce that, but yeah.
Of course that would be
that's
part
of the appeal of playing at Wrigley in that environment. You know the fans are always going to be there. You know that the atmosphere is always going to be electric. There are days where it will be not living up to maybe expectations, but more times than not, it will. So, yeah, if you're Alex Bregman, that might be very appealing. Change of scenery at the stage of his career. He's only 30.
I know.
I know we talk about him
hard to believe that.
A 35-year-old veteran on his last days. He's only 30 years old. So he might fit into that window. I don't know how. He's no Ryan Pressly. Our guy John Heyman as well. Not only Bruce is putting this out there, but John Heyman said that the Astros and the Cubs are the two most likely teams for Alex Bregman. So there is that belief.
The Red Sox are still
they're lurking.
Interested in that.
They're lurking.
That kind of a one-off deal, you know, short-term type deal.
Pillow contract.
Yeah, is that what we call it?
Yeah, it's a pillow contract. A little soft landing.
Yeah.
So Alex Bregman to the Cubs.
Oh, I thought you were talking about suffocation.
Still a possibility.
What?
Ryan Pressly going to be here before you know it. Spring training right around the corner. Less than 2 weeks before pitchers and catchers report to Mesa. White Sox.
Oh, boy.
So we heard from Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
And we have not heard from Tim Anderson in a while. And Tim Anderson joined another former White Sox player, A.J. Pierzynski, on the Foul Territory podcast. Talked about a variety of things. Talked about the punch he absorbed from Jose Ramirez. Talked about where he is in his career and how
He started that fight. You can't say he absorbed a punch. He was the guy that...
He did absorb a punch, though, did he not?
Down goes Anderson!
I don't know if he absorbed it. I think it knocked the career out of him.
Now you're quibbling with my verbs.
I'm sorry.
I should come up with a different one. I think maybe absorbed is maybe the wrong word.
I might be. It makes it sound like he was spongy and he just kind of took it.
I'm trying to think. What would be the right way? He suffered? He sustained?
He embarrassed himself.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not being mean about it. He got knocked silly.
Well, they talked about that. And they also talked about how difficult it can be. I think I'll speak for ourselves here.
Yes.
It's difficult to understand how Tim Anderson fell off the map so quickly. This is a guy who won a batting title.
Listen, didn't he win two?
Yes. And I think when you look at him talking about why he believes he began slumping, he and AJ talked about the hand injury, which might have contributed.
What happened with the bat? Because you used to rake. I mean, you were one of the best hitters in baseball. What changed? Did something change? Did you change a mechanic? Did you change a mental? Did you change something in your approach? Because you were unbelievable for about 4 years there.
I mean, just really just losing the feel. You know, I went through a couple injuries. I think the last injury that I went was, you know, when I did the MCL. You know, once I came back, the feel was just different. I lost the feel. I had a hand injury. And not to really, you know, give you, you know, examples about the injury, but I just lost the feel. And then we can speak on the mental side, you know, as well. I mean, not to really get, you know, too deep into my business, but I mean, I think we understand what was going on. So, you know, it's kind of hard to play when you're in those situations. And you know, I have, you know, other personal, you know, things going on as well. So, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, be able to see clear when you got so much going on. So, you know, I kind of appreciate the moment that I have now, you know, stepping away from the game once I did get released. I'm back to square one. You know, I'm hungry. And I'm excited. You know, honestly, I'm just excited for real.
That's a very honest answer.
It's a very accurate answer from the outside looking in. He allowed...
Not to get into my business.
Yeah, and he...
That scandal, if you will, damaged him as a player.
What he was dealing with personally affected him professionally, and he confirmed that, and I don't think he denies that.
No.
Now the question is, can he recover from that? And can he find a way to recapture what was missing in terms of his approach at the plate. Was it mental? Was it physical? Was it the hand injury? Were it all the distractions? Yeah. I don't know. But the Angels, minor league deal, might be tough to make that team fall from grace. That it seems like a very long time ago he was hitting a home run in Iowa and running around the bases, being celebrated as one of the faces of baseball.
The stalk-off homer.
The stalk-off.
What a moment that was.
That was a moment. That was the moment of that season.
That was a moment of his career, probably.
Yeah, and now you wonder where his confidence is at, because also in a newsletter with Scott Merkin, who covers the White Sox for MLB.com, friend of the program, he is quoted as saying about his mission for the 2025 season, quote.
Okay, before you read it, may I just say that this gave me a lot of pause.
Quote, I can't say get back to the player I was, because, I mean, it could be different, but just really to get back to enjoying the game.
Wow.
Get back to enjoying the game.
That's not the – that. I mean, if I'm signing you to a contract, it's not so you can have fun. It's not so you can enjoy yourself. It's so you can help me. And this used to be a really good player, and he's still relatively young, and he has fallen off the ledge. I mean, it's been – an awful fall from grace for Tim Anderson. I would rather have him say that I'm itching to get back to the player I was. I can't wait to win another batting title. I'm looking forward to helping my team win as I used to. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy it. Like, I don't know, man.
It sounds like a guy whose confidence is still lacking.
That's it.
And when you go up to the plate, you don't want that to be the case. And you don't want his mindset to be one of where he's questioning things, or it still sounds like he's very distracted, or he's a different player than he was. Tim Anderson was the guy that gave us he defined the bat flip mentality.
Yes, he did.
He was the guy that had the swagger. In the clubhouse, on the field, he gave the White Sox that style and that panache, if you will. And I think that's what's missing right now from what you hear. And even the way that he was talking to AJ.
That's so weird.
You don't want him to, he came across as, look, and I think we at different times in Tim Anderson's career, we're huge fans of his.
Yes.
He was the easiest guy in that White Sox team to like, and in some cases, if you're a Cub fan, to dislike, or if you're a Royal fan, because he would get under your skin. But he sounds like he's missing that element of his game.
Well, the swagger isn't there. So I think when he created the scandal that he then absorbed, I think that maybe that kind of did more damage to his confidence than we've acknowledged.
You're talking about the scandal doing damage, not necessarily the punch.
That he created, yeah. And then he absorbed the scandal. I'm just trying to use your... I'm speaking to you in your language.
Okay, semantics. Absorbing a scandal and absorbing a punch are two different things.
You seem to have affected him in the same way.
They did.
Should we listen to the punch?
Yes, listen to his explanation about the punch from Jose Ramirez.
Oh, boy.
I do have a serious question, and you can answer this any way you want to answer it. You and I are in a particular club together. Do you know what club that is?
No, what club is that?
We both got freaking punched in the face on national TV, okay?
Yeah,
all
sure.
Right, so we've both been through it, all right? And I've never heard you talk about it, and you don't have to talk about it. I've talked about when it happened with me openly, right? I've signed a million pictures of me getting punched, and people still bring it to me all the time, and I laugh about it, whatever. But did that have anything to do with anything that happened? Because, you know, you can go one of two ways. It can take you down a bad psyche, or it can take you to a good psyche, like me. I laughed about it and moved on. I don't know, because I've never really heard you talk about it. Like, did it affect you in any way?
It's not really I wouldn't even say it's really a whole lot to talk about it. I mean, I won't go as far as signing pictures, you know.
I understand.
But, you know, I was going through shit before that moment. You know, that was probably, you know, created, you know, the energy and the vibes to be able to, you know, tap into that energy. But, you know, man, moments happen. You know, moments happen, and that's something that we got to live with, and I understand that. But you know, I'm always looking forward. You know, I can't really change what happened. But I did understood a lot of things in that moment throughout that situation, and I understand what love was. I understood, you know, who really is your teammate, who really got your back, who really in your corner. So I could say I understand those in that moment for sure.
All right. So I think there's a huge difference between the two incidents. When Michael Barrett punched AJ, that was Michael Barrett punching AJ. That wasn't AJ starting a fight and then getting punched like what happened with Tim and Jose Ramirez. So I think that Michael, I think that AJ can walk away from that. In fact, David, I think that that affected Michael Barrett's career more than it affected AJ.
Yeah,
AJ,
I think,
became
so
more legendary.
It also just speaks to how different the personalities are. Yes. AJ has embraced the role of villain. He loves even signing photos of the incident. He doesn't tire of talking about it. And it was one of those indelible moments and memories in the Cubs Sox rivalry and in this city. It was terrific theater. Tim Anderson, in contrast, experienced something he would love to forget. And he doesn't want to reminisce about, and you could hear that in his voice. He would talk about it because AJ brought it up, but AJ is the kind of guy who would bring that up.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That makes him compelling as a podcast host, as an analyst, as a guy that you want in your clubhouse. He is going to stir the pot.
Interesting stuff. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Phil's in Downers Grove. Hey, Phil.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Molly. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Leave it far from me to sort of, quote unquote, carry the water for Cubs management, but I do feel Cubs fans kind of get a little bit over their skis on assuming you can just sign any player that comes available just because Ricketts is not spending sort of in the top five of payroll. That being said, just some cautionary tales on Bregman. David, you mentioned he's 30 years old, as if that's a positive, but 30 years old is usually when the downside kicks in on baseball players, and Bregman is far from the player he was prior to COVID. Number two, he's a qualifying offer player, means he rejected his qualifying offer from the Astros. So if the Cubs were to sign him, that comes with a lot of penalties, including forfeiting a couple draft picks, losing IFA money, and all of those penalties are deemed worse to lose if the Bregman contract is such a short-term deal, because you only get him for such a short period, plus you lose all those benefits from signing a qualifying player. So those are just some cautionary tales. And then lastly, I would just say that if Matt Shaw is as good as the Cubs are as high on him, you know, he can be an Alex Bregman type of player on such a minimal contract in much more of the heart of his prime of his career, and you'd just be kind of blocking him in that situation. I'd like Alex Bregman. He would help the 2025 team, but I'm not sure he helps the team long-term. Thanks, you guys, for my call.
All right, thanks, buddy. Thank you for the call. David will respond to that right when we come back. It is Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You know, I would love to play with Breggy. You know, he's one of those guys that you have in the clubhouse that, man, all he wants to do is win. He doesn't care where he's at. And that's the one thing, you know, I love about him. He was the heartbeat, you know, of that clubhouse in Houston, and, you know, having him come to Chicago would be an amazing thing, I think, for us. However, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on in his camp. I just, you know, I personally, I would love to play with him again just because he's just a solid dude and a great teammate. And, you know, his kid plays with my kids, and, you know, our wives are close friends. So, again, having another familiar face on the team would be, you know, super helpful. And that left side of the infield would be really, really good. But I still think we're really good with or without him signing, you know. But again, I would love to have him.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Good stuff. Good stuff hearing teammates that want to stick together one way or another. You don't want to overstate it. Oh, if we don't get them, we can't win. But that's an interesting
comment. Ryan Pressly stated it well, and
yep.
They're friends. And Alex Bregman may use that as a with making a list of pros and cons. That's a pro.
Yep.
In terms of picking the Cubs. Now, that won't matter maybe to Scott Boras, his agent.
Mm-hmm.
There are reports that there are 3 5-year deals, at least 5-year deals out there for Alex Bregman to choose from, and one of them is not from the Cubs, I don't believe. They wouldn't want to go that deep into the weeds and into the future. And Phil from Downers Grove asked some very good questions. He made some really excellent points about the hesitation when it comes to Alex Bregman, who at 30, when I referenced his age, it was in comparison to Ryan Pressly. And I do think at 30, yeah, you have to be cautious about how many long-term deals you hand out or sign to players. You invest in uncertainty to some degree. At the same time, Alex Bregman last year won a gold glove. He hit 26 home runs. He was a 4.1 WAR player. That would have been second on the Cubs. You're not just getting somebody who is a serviceable replacement, a solid guy. You're getting somebody who at times can be spectacular, more spectacular than solid. Maybe he's going to be in decline now, possibly. But you also are approaching this from the Cub perspective. It's less about the long-term investment. It's more about now. 2025 has to carry and does a sense of urgency that is reflected maybe in the way they're going to structure this offer. We don't know. Or maybe in the need to get somebody that is more certain of an investment than somebody like Matt Shaw, who's has only played in 159 minor league games and certainly might be great in the future, but maybe there's never a sure thing about a prospect.
Yeah, I don't think this is about – I think this is about winning if you bring a guy like this in. This is about getting the most out of this season because, frankly, you know, Kyle Tucker is on a one-year deal. Pressly is basically on a one-year deal. You're talking about trying to win the division, and we keep talking about how the Cubs can do that. But that's more about people who have left the division, the other teams getting weaker, not about the Cubs getting stronger. So you want both things to happen. And I agree with you. Like anybody who thinks that you can't sign Bregman because he's getting in the way of Matt Shaw is not paying attention to baseball. I mean, you know, you want to know how to get better as a player. You play. You don't get thrown in and then, you know, you got to struggle through whatever happens. It takes people time to get to the point where they are impact players. There are enough young players that are facing challenges that you don't have to have another one. I think Matt Shaw's done very well by all accounts. Everything you hear about him, you like, and I think he can handle the position. But that's not certainty. We know the other
that's
guy
less
can
certainty.
Win. Well, it is
that's,
significantly
it's,
less.
Yeah, and I think when you look at his potential, it's just that, potential. And
yes.
There are people who would suggest that even if you get Bregman, you could move Matt Shaw to second base, and mm-hmm. he could play it well, and you can move Nico Horner. I don't know if I like that idea any better. What you want is what you want in a lineup are things that you can count on a daily basis. That's why they're everyday players. And that's why Alex Bregman and Nico Horner and Dansby Swanson would give you things that you could count on a regular basis. And that's how you become a contender. That's how you win a division. And that's how you bring playoff baseball back to Chicago.
You know, I think Kyle Tucker is going to have a monster season because he's looking for the huge payday. And the only way he gets that is by having a monster season. So he's basically here for a year and route to, you know, whatever destination where they're going to pay him the most money. wouldn't you get sort of the same thing from Bregman? Wouldn't you get a guy that didn't get the kind of years and the kind of money he was hoping for?
Yeah.
So you pay him for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then that's so he can
bet on yourself,
bide his time to get to his next big contract.
As many ex-Astros that want to come to Wrigley Field to prove how disrespected they have been or what more they have left in the tank, bring them on. Bring all of them on, because you know, these are good players we're talking about. Kyle Tucker is a great player.
Yeah, he's really good.
Ryan Pressly at one point was a great closer. He wasn't last year, and I don't want to call him a closer. Maybe the ninth inning guy.
Oh, there you go.
Is that
go.
Okay with you? Ninth inning guy.
I think the high leverage guy. And then, preferred, whatever he calls himself.
Same deal with Alex Bregman. If he wants to get a contract because he wants to test free agency again next year, go ahead and do it. Come to Wrigley, hit your 35 home runs, win your gold glove, and then move on. But you know what? 2025, if that's the case, is going to be a lot of fun.
And I'll tell you what, like this idea that why do you only want to win now? Why do you like in partly because you're buying time for guys like Matt Shaw. You got a bunch of those guys on the way. Hopefully, you know, you get to a point where whenever you go to one of these guys, they come up and they do great things.
It's his 2016, okay? The patience level of Cub fans has been terribly overrated here. No longer, this isn't the age of patience. That was so pre-2016. We're tired of waiting. We want playoff baseball. The postseason has been absent for too long. They need to get back in the mix. Make a move. We don't want to go into the season. You don't want the Cubs to go into a season where you have to count on guys who are unproven. It's exciting to look at prospects ascend quickly through the system like PCA and Matt Shaw and Amaya and maybe even Michael Bush. But give me certainty.
Yeah, I'm with you. 312-644-6767. Let's try Pat. Pat's on the north side. Hey, Pat.
Hi, guys. I think I have an example of people can see the same things and hear the same things and have a different perspective. Mm-hmm. I appreciate what Tim Anderson is saying, that he wants to get back to enjoying the game, because if he's enjoying the game, he's obviously doing well. I don't think anyone enjoys the game when they're not playing well. So I think that's a very simple mindset to stay focused. He says he's looking forward. That makes a lot of sense. And then the other thing I would say is, and I'm a Cub fan, and I agree with everything that was just said about where they need to go. But this might be a little controversial. AJ started that fight by slapping home plate. I remember watching that live 20 years ago.
That still bug you?
If you watch that, he slaps home plate. When have you ever seen anyone do that? But, that is what set
so
them
that,
off.
So that means you gotta give him one.
But Pat,
that means
he didn't slap Michael Barrett. He slapped home plate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that it was different. Tim kind of squared off with a guy and then caught a shot. Michael Barrett, you know, he is the aggressor because he actually threw a physical punch.
Yes. So, and it's aggressive.
That is aggressive.
Very aggressive.
Man.
I don't know that slapping a plate warrants that.
I love that plate. You son of a.
That's my plate.
Yeah.
Not yours.
That's a really strange take. It was controversial. Let's try Donnie. Donnie's on the south side. Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, how you guys doing? Sorry about that. Lost you there.
No problem.
No, I was just going to give an example here. You know, Notre Dame High School alum here. We had a similar situation back in the day when I played. I know we're talking about the Cubs. I'm a Southside guy, born and raised 33rd and Halstead, so, you know, I can't root for them. But I do pay attention. You know, the Shaw Bregman stuff really, you know, like Molly said, you know, if Shaw can play, he can play. I had a guy, Joey Jacobuzzi and Vinny, they both, you know, used to battle it out. Vinny was more the third baseman, but Joey, you know, he reminds me of Shaw. Shaw, if you draft him where he is, he can play anywhere. You move him to second. I don't really get why people are too worried about that there. Worried about Shaw playing here.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Thanks
with
for the phone
you.
Call. Yeah. Vinny and who's the other one he was referencing?
I don't follow Notre Dame baseball as closely as you do.
Notre Dame High School baseball. Those are great examples.
Yeah.
Look, this is not a Matt Shaw conversation, really.
Yeah, it is.
It's not about Matt Shaw. This is about getting a player that is an all-star at his position. And when you can do that, if you are at the Cubs within your power and you have the resources and you can pull it off, you pull it off. And you delay the Matt Shaw experience if you can, because prospects are never a sure thing.
That's fair. Let's try Keith. He's in Shorewood. Hey, Keith.
Sorry, my voice is a little shot, but real quick, Cody Bellinger, if he never played for the Cubs and he was available right now, he would be a conversation piece for the Chicago Cubs. And I know that this whole conversation about Sean Bregman and everything, but I'll say this much. Wasn't Michael Bush a third baseman when he came up with the Cubs and converted over to first base? And from what I saw, his footwork and how he's played that position has been pretty solid. I don't know what he was as a third baseman because we've never seen it. But Cody Bellinger was given away by the Chicago Cubs, fits the middle of the lineup, plays multiple positions at an all-star caliber level, and the Cubs let him go. And now we're replacing him with Bregman, who I agree with you with all the stats, with the war, and everything makes sense. But I don't understand why if their thought process is, hey, we still need somebody in the middle of our lineup. The guy was here. So why was it Michael Bush moved?
Keith, you're now – Keith, representing David's inner voice, your conscience.
My inner voice has laryngitis.
But isn't that exactly what you've said?
Yes, but I'm trying to get over it. So I think that I'm trying to move on from that because I was not in favor of trading Bellinger. I did not want them to reallocate those resources. I wanted them to keep those resources and maybe spend some more if you needed to, because Cody Bellinger is a winning player in my book. Now, I understand why they did what they did, but I think you get rid of Cody Bellinger, it underscores the need for a guy like Alex Bregman. So that's what I think I take out of that phone call.
And you were uncomfortable for how he moves forward in his life with his wife's ex-boyfriend on the team.
I was not uncomfortable with that.
You were really worried about everything.
I did not even make that an issue.
You see the human side a lot more than other people.
You brought that up.
Oh, I never mentioned it.
I didn't even know about that.
Don's in Elmhurst. Hey, Don.
Hey, I got to change the subject. I want to go back to the Buffalo game versus Kansas City.
Uh-oh.
Did anyone ever talk about or take a look at the referees from the sideline when they're running in? The guy that's coming in from the Kansas City side had him short, and the Buffalo side had him over, and then the Buffalo guy changes.
Yes. Okay, so you say that you saw an exchange of money on that call? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it might have hurt me too, but...
Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I think ask and answer, counselor. I mean, it was a weird play. Did he get the first down? Didn't he? The only conclusion is that they got to figure out a way to
use technology to your advantage.
Yes, but
the NFL is too much is at stake with every play, every outcome, every result that you need to. If you can refine it, you refine it. If you can make it more exact, you do that. I don't think you want to rely on guys' judgment or else you leave yourself open to criticism or calls like that.
All right, we're going to bring in our guy, Nick Kostos. Maybe he can give David some advice for tonight. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
I want winners.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. On the line is Nick Kostos, the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Check out the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 2 to 6 on the BetQL network, and you can watch from 5 to 6 on NBC Sports Now on Peacock. Nick, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, guys? Great to be with you today.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. I thought it was really interesting. I heard you chatting with Kurt Warner, and you asked him if this is the best three-game run for any team in Super Bowl history, if they win, no one's done it before, how do you rate that? That was a really good question.
Thanks. And Kurt Warner said yes. And I agree with him. You know, I love the NFL. I fancy myself to be somewhat of an NFL historian. And you think about some of the great teams throughout history and look, like, you know, the Steelers of the 70s had more Hall of Famers than this Chiefs team does. Obviously pre-salary cap era. But I mean, the 70s Steelers didn't three-peat. The 80s 49ers didn't three-peat. The 90s Cowboys didn't three-peat. None of the Brady Belichick Patriots teams did. And this is a Chiefs team that's obviously on the cusp of history here, and I don't know how you take that away from them if they win three straight Super Bowls, if you don't say that this run they're on right now is the best dynastic run in the history of the NFL. I don't know what the counter to that is. I think it's a pretty obvious statement. I know some people disagree. I don't know how. Kurt Warner agreed with me when he came on You Better You Bet yesterday.
I think it's a very obvious statement. I do think it's within their grasp, well within their grasp. I wonder what you think is the biggest obstacle. I know it's early, Nick, but what's the early look at this game in terms of how the Chiefs can – what's the biggest thing in their path from a three-peat?
So I think it's two things. One is macro, and then one is more micro. The macro, the Eagles are better than the Chiefs. Like, they are. And I'm betting Kansas City in the game. So, like, I've been saying it all season. I think they're going to win. So I like the Chiefs in the game. But the Eagles are better. Like, 1 through 53, the roster is definitely better. And something else to consider, and we could talk about this more next week, guys. You know, when these two teams played in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, Philly closed a favorite in the game. Philadelphia was a 2.5-point favorite in Super Bowl 57. Mm. Now, the Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite in Super Bowl 59. And I don't think there's any question this Eagles team is better than that Eagles team. Jalen Hurts, a couple years more experience. I think the team is better. And the 2024 Chiefs are not as good as the 2022 Chiefs. So you have Eagles are better, Chiefs are worse, Eagles were favored in that game, and now the Chiefs are favored in this one. And obviously the great equalizer is Patrick Mahomes. So I think the question that people have to ask themselves as an answer, you know, is the greatness of Mahomes, and also of Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo, is it great enough to make up for the talent deficiency? Because Philly's the best team as far as roster goes, 1 through 53. So that's the macro answer for Kansas City. The micro answer is going to be, can they slow down Saquon Barkley in this Eagles run game? You know, Buffalo got away from James Cook, I thought, way too much in the AFC Championship game. We saw the Texans with Joe Mixon have success in the divisional round. So it stands to reason that Philly should be able to have success running the ball in this game. But, I mean, at the end of it, you know, if the game's close, I just have infinite confidence in Mahomes to pull it off. So not that it's a lock or anything like that. It's a small point spread. I am on the Chiefs, guys, in Super Bowl 59.
He's Nick Kostos, and he's joining us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. That's an interesting way of breaking it down, Nick. I'm curious, when you think about just the trade for Saquon, I know that you're a Giants fan, but we were talking a little bit about it earlier, the fact that they made a Super Bowl, that makes that one of the great trades in league history. They're great signings, right?
Absolutely.
Because they don't get there without him. He's got 2,000 yards. He scored 2 touchdowns in every game of the play. It's extraordinary the run the guy's on.
Yeah, and I'll take it a step further, Mully, and I'll say this about, you know, I am a Giants fan, so I think I think I'm pretty objective, but maybe it means a little more coming from a Giants fan to say this. You know, and I think this is kind of like what Bears fans want from Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, and what I want as a Giants fan from my GM, and what any team should want. I think the Eagles have the best general manager in all of sports, in Howie Roseman. Mm. I think he is, and there are a lot of good ones, like the Chiefs GM is really good, Brett Veach. There are lots of good GMs in sports. I think he might be the best one. And look, I, as a Giants fan, I have no ill will. I know a lot of Giants fans do, who are mad at Saquon. I'm not mad at him at all. I did criticize the signing just because I felt like, you know, running back with the way that position's been devalued, like, did they have to pay him that much money? Not that I thought Saquon's bad, just that I think maybe you overpaid for him, and it turned out to be maybe he's underpaid, actually. Hmm. And just the way that they're able to restock the cupboard, I mean, think about their first 2 draft picks this year. You know, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean are both absolute studs as rookies starting on a team that's in the Super Bowl. Like, this doesn't happen that often. So the Saquon signing is obviously a magnificent one, and just goes to show that I think this is if he's not the best, then he's one of the best GMs, guys, in all of sports, Howie Roseman.
All right, Nick, so we only got a minute left, but I want some advice, because I took the bait yesterday and I bet on the Bulls because they were getting 14.5 against the Celtics. And I want, generally speaking,
Kristaps Porzingis outscored them.
Yeah, I saw that, and I felt that. Thank you for reminding me of that. So, generally speaking, people like me who take the bait, how would you advise them moving forward to learn from their mistakes?
Just like in sports betting in general?
Yes, general. Because you are the prop king. You have all the wisdom. Tell us and share us. Share with us.
Well, I would say I think the best piece of advice I can give, because I get asked questions like this just in different ways, every single game is its own like individual puzzle piece that has to be figured out. So, you know, like you can look at something and say, oh, well, 14.5 is a lot of points. But maybe like, you know, ask yourself a couple questions. Like, why is the point spread this big? Should it be a little bigger? Does it make sense? Because I think generally, and just in life, like process in general, if you have an idea about something, but then you actually like apply some critical thought to it, and it doesn't withstand like even like one or two questions of scrutiny, chances are like it's probably not a good idea, and it might not be a good bet. And I don't say that from the ivory tower. Mm. Like, I went 1-5 last night with the bets I gave out on You Better You Bet. Like, I had LSU +12.5, lost by 13. Like, things like this happen, right? But you try and learn from those mistakes, like you said, David. And I would just urge people, like, every game is its own individual thing that has to be figured out.
Thanks, Nick.
Nick, do you like the Blackhawks over tonight?
Oh, so let's see. Wait, who are they playing tonight?
Carolina Hurricanes, okay, number six.
Do we know what the goalie matchup is?
Six.
Yet?
Oh, the goalie matchup. That's a good one. I think
is Soderblom playing?
He should be. He was hot, but I think he's probably going to be benched. Maybe Mrazek if he's back. Not sure.
Okay, so let's see. Who's Carolina going to start? Not Anderson tonight, because Anderson just played. Probably Kachetkov, I think is how you pronounce his name.
We got to break.
So he's been
quick advice.
Let him go.
So he's been pretty decent, Kachetkov. So I'm looking at his game log right now. Hasn't allowed more than 3 goals in a game since December 27th, and has played in quite a few since then. I would actually lean towards the under tonight. Wait for it to get bet up, and I would bet under 6.5 Blackhawks and Hurricanes.
I'm on it. Thanks,
Nick. Thanks a ton, Nick.
You got it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets. The absolute very best of luck.
How about that, Mr. Haw?
Thank you. All right.
That was a great answer.
That was a good answer.
We're going to be right back with Clay Harbor. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.